Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Lamed Zayin, and we're holding roughly 11-12 lines from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins, Itmar, Kinshe B'Toch Shloisha U'Borach. What is this all about? You recall yesterday in the Gemara we had a machloikis between the Meir and the Chacham. If you want to turn back to Lamed Vav Amud Beis, just for a short moment, almost halfway down the Amud, where the Gemara begins with a brisa, Desanya, Lamed Vav Amud Beis, middle of the Amud, Desanya. Lo yisa odem uberes chaveru umenekes chaveroi. A person should not go and marry someone else's ishim uberes. In other words, her husband and wife were married, Baruch Hashem, she became pregnant, and then lo yaleinu, either there was a passing, the husband passed away, or unfortunately there was a get. So now you have Aim uberes chaveroi. Same thing could apply to a meinekes chaveroi. A lady that's nursing, again, her marriage terminated, unfortunately. So a person should not go and marry such a lady at that time, because we're concerned that if he's going to live with her, then in terms of the ishim uberes, the child may become flattened out. If the woman becomes pregnant yet a second time, then the Gemara refers to this as the existing fetus may become like a sandal. Sandal means like a flat pancake. And if you're talking about menekes chaveroi, because the blood of the woman gets transformed into milk, the milk with which she nurses her baby, there may not be enough blood in her system to go and support both a new pregnancy and a nursing situation, and therefore it could be a sakana for the vlad. And therefore the Chum said, don't do it. Wait until the lady is no longer pregnant, or wait until she has stopped nursing. Rashi says in terms of the nursing, we could be talking about 24 months, because at least in the times of Chazal, they typically weaned their infants at the age of 24 months. So Rameyer says, don't do it. The Amnasa, what happens if this person didn't listen? And he did marry Ma'uberes Chaveri or Menekes Chaveri. He says, Rameyer, Yoitzi, he has to give her a get, but Layisa Oilamis, he should never take her back. Layachsar Oilamis. It's permanent. The Chammaim and the Chum said, Yoitzi, yes, I agree we should give a get. Lekshagiyaz Mami Lichnois, Yichnois, wait until after the woman is no longer pregnant, or wait until she's no longer nursing, and at that point, you can go and take her back. We had a discussion yesterday about what happens if the husband is a koyin, and if he gives her a get, he won't be able to take her back. But our Gemara is now focusing on another aspect, and that is, if a person defied the Chachamim's takana, and he did marry the Isha Muberes, or the Isha Menekes, there's no choice. You gotta give a get, according to the Meir, and this is permanent, and according to the Chacham, you give a get, but you can go and take her back subsequently. So having said that, getting back to our Gemara today, Itmar, about 12 lines from the top of the Lamed Zayin Omid Aleph, Kidshim Etoch Shloisha, we have a similar takana, which is that any time Chas V'Shalom, a husband passes away or divorces his wife, that she should not get married for another 3 months. Why not? Because it may be that right before the husband passed away, before he gave a get, maybe she became pregnant. And now if she's going to go marry, let's say within, for instance, 2 months after the husband died and gave her a get, and then 7 months later she's going to go and give birth, so we won't know whether it's Tisha L'Rishoin or Shiva L'Achrein. Since we waited 2 months after the first husband passed away, and then you add to that another 7 months, 2 plus 7 equals 9, so if after 7 months later she's going to have a baby, maybe that's going to be a zibula, a 7 month baby to the second husband, or maybe it's a 2 plus 7, it's a 9 month baby to the first husband, and therefore we're not talking about Chas V'Shalom, this is a problem of mamzerus or a problem of pogum. We're just concerned, we want to know who's the real father of this child. What difference does it make? It makes a lot of differences. What happens if after that, let's say the child turns out it's a boy, Baruch Hashem, Mazel Tov, A girl also mazel tov. But it's a boy. And then after that, years later, when the boy gets to be of age, they might suggest shiduchim. And they might suggest a daughter of one of the two husbands, the first or the second. If he marries that young lady, it might be his sister. Or it might be that he's not related whatsoever. Anyway, so the point is, or maybe at least it's the same mother, but it's not the same father. Regardless, the point is that we don't know, we're not talking about a Yibam situation, so it doesn't have to be a relation altogether, right? You have she was originally married to Smith, and then Smith died, and then she married Jones, and then 9 months later she had a baby. So I don't know whether it's a Smith boy or it's a Jones boy. If it's a Smith boy, then this fellow will not be able to go and marry any Smith kid. If it's a Jones boy, he can't marry any Jones kid. However, if it's a Smith, he'll be able to go and marry the Jones kids. And if it's a Jones, he'll be able to marry the Smith kids. And so on and so forth. So that's why it's important we should know the Havchim bin Zer Lezer. But this person didn't listen. And Kitchibatur Shloisha. Now the question is, what do we do? So the first thing the Gemara tells us is Uvorach, he made a breaker. He ran away. Okay. Pligi barav acha barofa, chad amr nishamtinan lay, b'chad amr iruke nistaya. But the Gemara does not say, but apparently the Gemara held that if this fellow stayed around, remember he only did kiddushin, he didn't do nisuin, so he didn't actually live yet with the new lady, so therefore we don't have the concern yet, of the possible confusion as to the child's genealogy. True. However, normal person after the Eirusin, he can go and do Nisuin up to a year later, but if there's agreement, they can go and do it a day later, a week later. Today we do it, you know, within minutes of each other, the Eirusin and Nisuin, under the same chuppah. So theoretically, he could go and marry her. And therefore, l'choira, what we should say is, no, give her a get. Stop it. Just like the case we had here in the Omid Beis about the Meinekes Chavera Yimu Beres Chavera. But here he didn't have a chance to go and give a get because of Uvarach. He ran for the hills. It doesn't say why he ran. He ran. And he's no longer around. What should we do now? One says we should put him in Chayim. The reason we put him in Chayim is not just as a penalty or just as a rebuke. But Rashi says the purpose of the Chayim is to force him to write a get. And that's the reason why this Gemara would therefore be on all fours with the Gemara of yesterday. He violated the rule here of marrying prematurely. Give a get and end this potential of the being mixing zera lezera, the confusion. V'chadam Yama says, no, iruke mistai. The fact that he ran away, that already solves the problem. The whole issue is, I'm afraid that he's going to go live with his wife, and then we'll have confusion. Is the child from the first marriage? Is the child from the second marriage? I have good news. If he's not around, he cannot do the bia, he cannot go and live with her. So you don't have to put him in chayim, you don't have to force him to give a get. He's not here anyway. So just, you know, let's wait until he comes back. Hopefully he'll only come back after 3 months are over, and we won't have an issue anymore. The Gemara therefore assumes that at that time he can return to her, and there won't no longer be any concern. The Gemara tells us how the Uvda, in fact, was a real live case of a person who did a kiddushin within 3 months, and then he ran for the hills from Lurafim and Rafim Paskin Halacha Maisa Iruke Mistai. We don't have to go and put him in Chayim. We don't have to talk about giving a get. He's not here. We'll worry about it. You know, Dailat Sarasa Mishaita. When he comes back, we'll talk about it then. But in the meantime, he's not here. He cannot cause this possible Havchana problem. And then we continue on. It says the Mishnah, Safik ben Teisha l'Rishoin, and Safik ben Shiva l'Achrein, right? If we go back to the Mishnah for a moment, Vasim Galant in the Mishnah, Safik ben Tisha l'Rishoin, Safik ben Shiva l'Achrein, Yoitzi v'Havlad Kosher, right? This was the Mishnah back on Lamed Hey Omed Beis. Here we were talking once again about a Yibam situation. Now what happens? There was a child, Baruch Hashem, at the end of the day. Now the question is, what were the Rishon or the Achrein? The child was kosher, because either the child was born to the first husband who never passed away, or if Ben Einloy, so she had every right to have Yibam with the Yavam, and Baruch Hashem, they had a new child, Givaldik. So either way, the child is kosher. However, Yoitzi, we force the Yavam to go and give a get to his wife, to this Yavama, because it could very well be that this is an Iser Eishes Ach Sheyesh Loibonim. Maybe this child was born to the first marriage. If the child was born to the first marriage, we got Tzuris. And then Yoitzi, the child is kosher, that's not a problem. But then the husband, the Yovim, had no right to go and be Miyavim as Ishtar. And the Mishnah says, V'chayavim v'asham toloi. Both the Yovim and the Yavama may have violated an Issacharis. They may not have violated an Issacharis. At the moment we have no solid evidence one way or the other. Give an Ashem Tovi. In other words, bring the Kavan Ashem Tovi. Maybe later on, the scientists will be able to go and tell you, based on DNA or who knows what, whether in fact it was from the first or the second. But one thing is clear. At this time, we don't know. Ashem Tovi. Yes, Rabbi.
Why is the Isha high because she's passive? The Yodam is allowed to be the Yagan she had no active participation.
In every, you're thinking of in terms of Esther, where the Gemara says Karka Oilami, but other than that, yes. Typically the Gemara says that not typically. When you go through Parshias Achri Mois Kedoshim, this week's Parsha, really next week's Parsha after Pesach, you have all the list of all the Arayas. Anyone who engages consensually in any one of these incestuous relationships, it's not only the man, but also the woman, get punished. So in our case, both the Yavam and the Yavama should have waited 3 months to see what the story is. Because we all know that there's always the possibility that the husband that passed away, maybe at the last moment, he was able to be Mazriya Zera with his wife, and in fact, maybe she's pregnant, and therefore she is usher to all of the brothers because it's an Eishes Ach Sheyesh Lebanah. I don't know. It's probably unlikely, but it's certainly impossible. And therefore the Chum said, wait 3 months. Not only the case of Yibam, in every situation, always wait 3 months. They violated this 3 month rule, and guess what happens? It turns out that she was pregnant, either from the first husband, or she became quickly pregnant from the second husband. We don't know. If we knew for a fact that this child was from the first husband, then we would say that the two violated the halacha of Eishes Ach Sheyesh Lebanim, which is an Issur Karis. You're not allowed to go and marry Eishes Ach. And therefore both of them, if they did it b'mezid, would get Karis. If they did it b'shogi, would have to bring a Karim Chattas. But since we don't know, they bring an Oshem Tovi. Good? So that's what it says in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara addresses that. And Omalei Rav Rav Nachman, Lei Mahilach Achar Reiv Noshem Letishe Yolda. The whole suffix over here is, maybe, let's assume that the husband and wife, the Yovam Yavama, got married exactly 2 months after the passing of the first husband, right? They first had Shiva, Mitash Loishim, Nebuch, the husband passed away. They waited another 30 days, now it's 60 days after the husband passed away, and then she marries one of the Yavamim, one of the brothers. Alright, they shouldn't have. That's what they did. And now, 7 months later, fast forward 7 months, now it's 9 months after the Petira of the first husband, 7 months after the marriage of the second husband, and Mazel Tov, this lady has a baby. Now the question is the baby from the first husband or from the second husband? So if you want, let's go Basaroi, Varay Nashim Letishi Yolda. In all likelihood, this child was born to the first husband. And therefore, says Rashi, instead of them bringing a carbon Ashim Tali, they should have to go and bring a carbon Chatos, go Basaroi. And therefore, in all likelihood, I don't know if the percentages are 90% or 70%. But certainly there is a substantial majority that women give birth full term, and therefore in all likelihood it's from the first husband, and therefore the Yavam and Yavama live together in sin. Fine, an oynis, a shoygig, pesheya, whatever it is. The Gemara doesn't consider this to be amazing. If they knew for sure they would never have lived together, she was sure that she's not pregnant, she still had her periods, etc. Anyway, to cut a long story short, why aren't we not mechayiv them a carbon chatos? Ever the Gemara, Amalei, so he answered back. This is Rav Nachman saying back to Rava, Nashi didon l'shiva yodan. In our neighborhood, in our cities where we live, here in Babel, the women typically give birth after 7 months. Not that it's roi, but at least a substantial percentage. And so therefore it's not the clear-cut roi that you thought, that roi nashal letisha, by uns, in our community, many of them give birth after 7. As Amaleis, he told him back, nu mazata, nishidin chu havarubad alma. After all, you're talking about your experience here locally, ichwais in Sura, or Pompada, or Pompadisa, or Nerda, or whatever. Alts is fine, mechoiza, that's not rave of the world, that may be locally here because ichwais of nourishment, or lack of nourishment. The babies give birth, the women give birth after 7 months, but that's not roiv of the world. Roiv of the world, everybody gives birth at the end of 9 months. Amaleis, Rav Nachman said to Rava, Hachi Kamina, what I meant to say is, you're right, roiv nashim yolda letish. You're 100% right. Roiv women are after 9 months. Umiyot l'shiva. And a small percentage after 7. However, v'chol hayolad es letisha ubra nikar l'shlishya me'a. Any woman that is giving birth based on a normal full-term 9-month baby, ubra nikar l'shlishya me'a, after 3 months, it's nikar. In other words, you can tell her belly starts already protruding. V'zu, and this young lady, hayu v'lo yikar ubra l'shlishya me'a, after 3 months after her husband passed away, meaning a month after she got married to the Yavam, we don't see anything. Because if it would be Hukar Ubra after a month after she married the Yavam, then everybody would know for sure that it cannot be from the second woman, from the second husband, that is. If it would be from the Yavam, you gotta wait another couple of months until it's known. Everybody, as everybody knows, when a woman becomes pregnant, it's only noticeable after 3 months. And here we're talking about the husband already died 2 months ago, and now the woman got married. Fast forward another month, it's now 3 months. Nobody sees anything. Nobody knows anything. So therefore, says the Gemara, Isle Ruba, that roiv that you said, that roiv women give birth after 9 months, that roiv is now challenged. It's weakened by the fact that we don't notice anything after 3 months. That's why we don't go basarayv, but rather we say it's almost like a safik hashoku. We don't know. Arshim tolle. Freiti mara. Ikol hayoyled is letisha uba niklash lishyameh. If you're telling me that this is a universal rule by all women, that you can always tell the pregnancy after 3 months, huh, this young lady, with loyhukam lishyameh, since we were not able to recognize anything, notice anything after 3 months, then ubravade bar shiva lebasro. Wouldn't we say the other way around? That's really a vadai, that it's from a 7-month birth. Because if it would be a full-term birth after 9 months, then after 3 months, everybody should have said, golad yadul chol amim. Everybody should have noticed it. So doesn't that tell you that in fact, that this is a 7-month baby, not a 9-month baby? So Zimar, you're right. I misspoke. I didn't mean to say the chol hanoshim or kol hayoledes letisha, ela ima roiv hayoledes letisha ubra nikolish lishomel. B'derech klal, as a general rule, most women that are in pregnancy, you can go and tell after 3 months. V'hai, and this young lady, midway hooker lishomel, because we were not able to see anything after 3 months. Israel Ruba, therefore her roiv has been weakened, and therefore we say that in fact it's a pretty strong suffix in both directions. Yeah, generally we would say al pi roiv after 9 months. However, since we didn't see anything after 3 months, a good argument can be made that in fact she's not pregnant, she only got pregnant subsequently from the second husband and not from the first husband. Tanarabai. Now we're no longer dealing with the question of the chatas and the oshem. Now we're talking about the yichus of the child that is born to the yavam, or at least to the yavam. So as we already said in the Mishnah, that child is a kosher child. Why is a kosher child? One of them either born to the first husband or born to the second husband, but there was no pigam whatsoever in the yichus of this child. And therefore, Rishon Roiliyah is Kohen Gadol. He is such a miyuchas. Well, I don't know if he really is a miyuchas, but the point is, there's assuming that the father was a Kohen. And if the father was a Kohen, there's a very strong presumption that the Yavam is also a Kohen, since a Yavam always has to be an Ach Min Ha'av. So clearly he's a Kohen. Now the only question is whether or not, whether he has any Pagam, says our Gemara, he is so kosher that in theory he could become eventually the Kohen God. Good. Vishaini, however, what happens if the Yavam continues living with the Yavama in potential sin? Because after all, that first child may have been born to the first husband. And therefore, the Yavam is not allowed to continue living with the Yavama. Our Mishnah said, Yoitzi, with a capital Y, a capital Yud, give a get ASAP. It's an Issacharis. But he refused, and he continued living with that young lady. And guess what? Rachman Litzlan, they had a child. That child is never a mamzer misafik. It's a suffik mamzer. Well, it might be that this is a very wonderful child, because maybe the first child was from the Yavam. And therefore, the Yavam and the Yavama did what they were supposed to do. They're supposed to have Yibam. Maybe this child is givaldik. On the other hand, maybe the first child was from the first marriage, and therefore the Yavam and Yavama are prohibited to live with one another. Anyway, bottom line, it's a suffik mamzer. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Aimer, Ein mamzer misafik. No, there's no such thing as mamzer misafik. Frey Timura, Maika Omar, I don't understand what Reb Elazar ben Yaakov is saying. Ein mamzer misafik. I also don't understand what's the nafkimin and halacha. What do we mean to say, Yom mamzer misafik, Nish mamzer misafik, it's a suffik mamzer. It's ganz klar. It's a clear-cut case. Omer Abaye, Hochik Omer, Rishon Roim Lewis Kohen God, that we know. V'sheini Sofik Mamzer, V'osu the Mamzeres. When afterwards, what happens when this second one grows up? We're going to want to go and find a shidduch for this young man. We're going to have to put down on his resume, be aware that this young man, the second child, is a Sofik Mamzer, and therefore he cannot even marry a Mamzeres. Why can't he marry a Mamzeres? You'll see as the Gemara is going to develop the thought. The Sheni is Sofik Mamzer and Osir Mamzeres. There's no question that he's Osir to go and marry a regular Jewess, because the other Mamzer Bekal Hashem, since it's a Sofik Mamzer, it's a Sofik Lab, a Sofik Is. But so could I to Chamina that this Sofik Mamzer should at least be able to go and live with another Mamzer? No, it's a Sofik. It might very well be that he's in fact a kosher regular Jew. A regular Jew is now going to go and marry a Mamzer. And so therefore, at this point, the way Abaye is learning, according to Tanakama, this person is stuck in limbo. He might be able to go marry a Shivcha, but that is not the discussion in our Gemara. That's for another day. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, we're going to talk about that momentarily, my friend. Bear with us. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, we have to add ben Yaakov because we had that three lines earlier. Blessed Yaakov, Oymer, Einoi Sofik Mamzer, Ela Vadai Mamzer, Umutib Mamzeres. He's not a Sofik, he's a Vadai. And he's allowed to marry Mamzer. What, he's a Vadai? He's not a Vadai, he's only a Sofik. Stay tuned. Rova Omar, Hochik Omar. No, the price is just the opposite. How did Abaye learn? Abaye said that the fellow is a Sofik Mamzer, and also everyone. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says he's a Vadai Mamzer, and Mutib Mamzeres. Rav says just the opposite. Hochi kama. Rishon or Leo is kohen God. V'sheini mamzer vadai misafik. Sounds like an oxymoron. This is a mamzer vadai misafik umut mamzeres. In other words, what Abaye had attributed to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, that he's mut mamzeres, says Rav, that's the Tanakama. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says, Oimer ein vadai mamzer misafik el esafik mamzer v'yasem mamzeres. Oh, exactly what Abaye had explained according to the Tanakhama. Rava says according to Blaise with Yaakov that Osir Mamzeres. So bottom line is we have the same two opinions. Only Machlokes Abaye and Rava, who said what? They come in from the Reb Elazar. What's the Machlokes between Abaye and Rava, as well as ultimately the Machlokes between the Chachamim and Reb Elazar and Yaakov? This halacha of Reb Elazar. They learned in the Mishnah of Reb Elazar. Vado'on v'vado'on mutter. This Mishnah appears at the end of Maseches Kiddushin in the Perek Asur Yochsin, where it talks about Yichas and who's mutter to marry whom and who's not mutter to marry whom. And Rav Lozner says, Vadon bevadon mutter. If you have a Vade Mamzer and another Vade Mamzer, oh, this is a match made in heaven. The two Mamzerim can go and get married. Of course, their children will be further Mamzerim, but at least they are not in limbo. They can get married. Vadon bevadon mutter. Vadon besveikon, besveikon bevadon, or sveikon besveikon, osur. However, if you're talking about a vadai with a suffix, or a suffix with a vadai, or even a suffix with a suffix, it's osur. Why is a suffix with a suffix osur? L'chayra, they are mirror images of each other. Since each one is a suffix, maybe one of them is really a kosher, and the other one is really a mamzer. We don't know, because we don't know the circumstances, it's a suffix, but could be one's kosher, one's a mamzer. Osir, everything is osir. The only big thing that's mutter is vadi mamzer, vadi mamzer. The Elohim Tzveikon, if you're wondering what's the description, what's the definition of a suffix, shtuki vasufi vekusi. The word shtuki comes from the word shtika. And therefore Rashi says, whenever the child is walking in the street together with his mommy, and then somebody asks him, tell me, who is your father? Or if the child on his own calls out, daddy, daddy, tati, tati, he's looking for a father, and his mother keeps on shushing him and said, shh, yingala, maigala, shh, shh, quiet, don't answer, don't say, be quiet. So that type of shtuki, that type of shtika, that type of silence speaks volumes that we don't know who the father is, and the mother is not willing to disclose, or maybe she herself doesn't even know, and therefore that's the suffix, a shtuki. Asufi is, if you will, even worse. It means a child that was nesaf min hashuk. And you hear every once in a while on the radio or whatever about a child that was left at the police station or was just left in the middle of the street without anything. And there's no indication of who the mommy is, who the father is. It's just an asufi. The word asufi comes from nesaf. He or she has been collected from the marketplace. We have no idea who the parents are. So then it's a double suffix. The shtuki is only a one suffix. I don't know who the father is. A sufi, both of them are a suffix. The kusi, says Rashi, we know who the kusim are. However, they were not makbid on kiddushin, on kiddushi kesef ushtar. And they would go and freely go and take one wife and then reject her and take another wife. So therefore, every one of the children that was born is a suffix mamzer because we have no idea what the nature of the kiddushin was, yes or no. You have, unfortunately, you had the same problems with the Ethiopian Jews a few years ago when they came to Eretz Yisrael, where they, assuming that they are real Jews, then we have a problem that they didn't know Hilchas Kiddushin, and therefore, if any marriage terminated without the benefit of a get, we're in trouble, because then you have children which are potential mamzerim. And once you have mamzerim from 100 years ago or 500 years ago, then, you know, all the doidas are all mamzerim. So if they are real Jews, then we have that potential problem. If they're not, then they're goyim, then of course it could be megayah there. Anyway, that's not a discussion for today, but this is similar to that halacha legabi the kusim. So therefore they're sveikah. And all of these suffix, according to Rav Lozner, are not allowed to marry a vade mamzer, and not allowed to even marry a suffix mamzer, because one of them might be kosher, the other might be a mamzer. Okay. So what's halacha? Oh, this is Rav speaking. Halacha ki Reb Elazar, we pass like Reb Elazar that suffik mitavadei are asur. Kemri tekamet shmur. Rav Yehuda tells us now that after Rav passed away, and now Rav Yehuda moved on to the besmedish of Shmuel. Omali, Shmuel told me that Hillel shana, Hillel taught asur yachsed olmi baga. At the time that Ezra and Nehemiah came up from Baga, they brought with them 10 classes of yichus. Koihani, Levi, the Israeli, Koin Levi, Israel. Chaloli, that's a cholol. Geiri, of course, are geirim. Charuri are those avodim that became free. Avodim mishuchrorim. Mamzeri are mamzerim. Nesini comes from the givoinim. Shtuki vasufi, we just discussed. Vekulan, mutarim, lovi, zebazen. All of them are allowed to marry one another. Now, on the surface, this is a very difficult statement at Kulam Mutar. Because after all, a Kohen Levi in Yisrael cannot go and marry a Mamzeri, a Mamzer, a Mamzer, the Kal Hashem. So therefore, we have to go and interpret this a little bit differently. We're going to see the Rashi in a moment, how we understand. But what do I see? We see from this that the final few, the Mamzeri, Shtuki, Vasufi, are all Mutter Lovi Zebazet. Really? A Mamzer allowed to marry a Shtuki Vasufi? And therefore, says Shmuel, that's what Hill taught us, or not, not taught us, but earlier generations, and therefore a Mamzer is allowed to marry Shtuki Vasufi. The At Amis Aloch Kerb Lozer, you're passing like Kerb Lozer, that you're saying a Suffolk and a Vade are Osir. Hill already told us years ago that a Suffolk and a Vade are Mutter. So, bottom line is, we have now a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel. How do we paskin? Avadai mitasofik, are they mutter, are they not mutter? Rav paskin like Reb Lozer that sofik and avadai are osur, while Shmuel paskin like Hillel that sofik and avadai are mutter. So Abaye sovolok Shmuel. Okay, so going back to Abaye the Rava, remember when Abaye was explaining the braisa at the top, Abaye attributed to Reb Lezer ben Yaakov that a Vadai and a Sofik are allowed to go and marry. Right? If you go back, you see where you have that Aleph in the parentheses. That's Abaye speaking, and he's quoting and explaining Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, and he says, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, Oymer, Eini Sofik, Mamzel, Vadai, Mamzel, Mutter, Mamzeres, this Sofik has the same like a Vadai, Sofik and Vadai are allowed to get married, and therefore Abaye is similar to Shmuel. Back to our Gemara, Abaye said, Shmuel, the Amaloch Kehil. Shmuel said, we pass on like Hill, that Kula Mutarim Zebazet. So our Mamzer is allowed to go and marry a Shtuki Mitana Sufi. Oh, so therefore, if that's the halacha, says now, Abaye Umuki Lo Reb Lezer Min Yaakov Aliba de Hilchasa. I want that we should pass him that way in explaining Reb Lezer Min Yaakov. Kehle Tikshi Hilchasa, Ah Hilchasa. Everybody knows that halacha is typically like a blezim and yakai, because mishnosoi kavinoki, and there's our goes oshri that says that what means kavinoki, we find the blezim and yakai 102 times in Shas, that we paskin like in kav, with the gematria 102, the noki we always paskin like him. So if we paskin like a blezim and yakai, and if we have over here that Shmuel says we paskin like Hillel, so I want that the two halachas should be consistent. And since Shmuel, when he passed him like Hillel, he said that Sofik and Vade are mutter. That's why Abaye said in that earlier braisa that Reb Lezer ben Yaakov is the one that holds that it's mutter and Vade mutter. Sofik. But Rav is over looking at Rav, the Amaloch Reb Lozer. Oh, Rav said, look at Reb Lozer. Where Reb Lozer said that Sofik and Vade are osur. And that's why Rav reversed it. Look at Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, believe in the Hilchasa. We shouldn't have a seer of one halacha on the other, so that everybody's consistent that we pass them like Reb Lozer, and that Sofik and Vade are awesome. So before we continue on to the Amud Beis, I promise you to just take a quick look at the Rashi, because the Gemara said that all Asari Yochsin, Kahan Levi Yisraeli, they're all Mutar and Lovi Zeh Bazeh. How could a Kohen Levi Yisrael marry a Mamzer? So in fact, Rashi explains it the way the Gemara in Asar Yosin, that's the name of the parak towards the end of Maseches Kedushin. If you look at Rashi Mekum Mitarim Zel Lovi Zebazeh, Rashi is about 12 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Mekum Mitarim Lovi Zebazeh. Iyam Resveikem Evadon Mutter Vekolskin Sveikem Resveikem. Haimli Mishkachas Lekulam Mitarim Zebazeh. If you're going to tell me that a Vada and a Sofik are Mutter, then I can see how the 10 groups of Yichus are Mutar and Zebazet. And now Rashi explains. Kehanim Levi Yisrael, Mutar and Zebazet. Kehanim Levi and Yisrael, they are Mutar. That's of course a Devar Pashut. We continue on. Levi, the Yisraeli, Chaloli, Geri, the Charuri, who are Charuri, Avad Meshucharim, those are Mutar and Zebazet. Well, a Levi and Yisrael, of course, allowed to marry. Chaloli is a cholol. A kohen cannot go marry a cholol because that would be mechal his kuna. Therefore, the Levi Israeli and the chaloli, as well as the geiri, the geirim, as well as charuri, those are the vadim shacharim. Those are all. So we left out the kohanim, and now we're continuing on to the second category of Levi Israeli, and then we have yet the third category now. Geiri v'charuri mamzeri unesini shtuki v'asufi mutarim ze bezeh. Now notice that among this list we have the Gerim. You remember the brother Shai already 5 minutes ago asked whether a mamzer is allowed to go and marry a Ger. Well, this is a very hot machlokes. Our Gemara only brings one side of the machlokes, that this man Yama holds that a Ger can marry a mamzer. Tekal Gerim loy ikri kol. The Kal of Gerim, the whole pasuk in the Chumash is Leyovim Mamzer Bekal Hashem. Kal Hashem, why is it Kal Hashem? Leyovim Mamzer Bekal. What's the Kal Hashem? Kal Hashem, the Gemara Darsh is according to one man, the Omar, that it comes to exclude a Ger, that a Mamzer is allowed to go and marry a Ger or a Gerit. And that's how this Mishnah holds in Asur Yosef. And that's why it says that kul mutar lo vizeh vizeh, that even the gerim are allowed to go and marry the mamzerim, etc. Laficha mamzerim mutar men, ukeseira zeh, shnuyim v'kiddushin. So that's what Rashi Fish finishes off. Fine. Now, what does it have to do with us? L'choyim, we have still one major problem. What's that major problem? We're saying that according to Hillel, and according to Shmuel, and according to Abai, according to Blezim and Yaakov, a Vaday is allowed to go and marry a Sofik Mamzer. That's heresy. The Sofik Mamzer could easily be, I know easily, but at least 50-50, or maybe 25-75, could be a kosher child. It's only a Sofik Mamzer. We don't know. So we're going to go and allow him to go and marry a Mamzer. That should be very problematic. So our Gemara doesn't address this issue. Rashi only addressed the issue of a Mamzer marrying a Ger. But what about the issue of a Mamzer marrying a Sofik Mamzer? The Gemara says, according to all of these Choshev Aman the Amram, that it's permissible. What's the basis of that? So the Me'iri says that the basis is simple. Just like we brought Le'yov Mamzer Kal Hashem, that Kal Hashem comes to exclude Kahal Gerim, Utsil Mamzer Hashem, Le'yov Mamzer Kal Hashem, Vaday Kohol his Osir, but not in Sofik Kohol. That's that we say that a mamzer not allowed to marry in Kal Hashem means a vaday kol, vaday ksheirim, he's not allowed to marry. But if it's a sofik kol, meaning that the other person is not clearly part of the miyuchasim in Kal Hashem, because that person himself or herself happens to be a sofik, then there's no isser according to this mamiyama. We're not saying halacha lemais, but according to the mamiyama that holds sofik and mamzer are mutarim, it's because we darshan Le'yovim Mamzer B'Kal Hashem, Vaday Kol Aser, but Sofik Kol is what? Anyway, getting on to the Amud Beis. Amar Abaye, Mi No'am Min Allah, D'Chol Seikim Rabbi Ben Yaakov, Ki Vaday Mishav Aleh. So Abaye is saying, it's not only that I want to keep the halacha consistent. Remember Abaye said, that Rabbi Ben Yaakov holds that a Sofik Mamzer like a Vaday Mamzer, and therefore a Sofik Mamzer and a Vaday Mamzer are allowed to get married. And remember Abai said, I dafka want Rav Blazim and Yaakov to be the author of that halacha, said it should be consistent with Shmuel and with Hillel, that they all held that a Vaday Mitasofik and Mutar and Lovi Zeh Vazeh, and we want to establish Hilchasaki Hilchasa that it shouldn't be a steer. But, says Abaye, it's not only because I want the halacha to be consistent. I have a raya that Reb Lezer and Yaakov considers a suffix to be like a vada. What's my raya? The sign from a braisa. Reb Lezer and Yaakov, oimer hari shabal al noshim harbei, vein yodei al eze mehen bo. Nebuch Rachmon l'Islam, you have a person who's a tremendous Baal Taiva, and he lived with numerous women, and we don't know Al Aizman Ba. He doesn't even remember which one Yo, which one Nisht. He had such a long list of women that he lived with, he doesn't even remember all the names and all the people. Or Faket, Fakhenhi. You have a woman Nebuch, Shabo Aleh Anoshim Harbe, that she lived with many men, Benidas Me Aizman Kimbla. And therefore she doesn't know if she becomes pregnant from whom she was Mekabel, the Zera that caused her to become pregnant. Okay? You know what can happen if you have such a situation where the man may have fathered many children and this woman may have given birth to a child from one of many men. What can have is chas v'sholom all types of issues. Nimtza av noisi es bitoy v'ach noisi es achoisa. You could theoretically have a father going and marrying his own daughter and a brother marrying his own sister. In other words, You have no idea the yichus of any of these kids, because you don't know who the father was. You know who the mother was, but the mother doesn't even know who the father was. And then you have a father that has perhaps fathered many children, and he doesn't even know that all of these children are his, because he doesn't even remember who he lived with or who he didn't live with. Is mass anarchy and confusion. Chas v'sholom, there's a possibility of numerous mamzerim based on these two individuals. About this it says, zima, the whole world is never full of zima, meaning of children of questionable genealogy. What do I see from this brisa, says Abaya? We don't know for sure that the children born here are definitely mamzerim. It's just a suffix mamzerim. Why? Because this woman, for instance, presumably is married to a husband. Unfortunately, she has sinned. She's an Eishes Ish, and she has lived with many men. But it doesn't have to be that the child is from one of those other men. It could be it's from her husband. So it's all suffix mamzerim situation. And nevertheless, look at the expression of Reb Blaz ben Yaakov. V'nismali oylem kulei mamzerim. So says Rashi, second and third line, I see that even mamzerim isafik, Reb Blaz ben Yaakov calls them mamzerim. He should have said that the nismali oylem kulei safik mamzerim. He says mamzerim is the chasimim that he treats safik kirvata. That's Abaye's raya. Is a chabisal shver on Rava? Because Rava said Reb Blaz ben Yaakov holds the other way around, like we had back on the Amid Aleph. You know why Reb Blaz ben Yaakov quotes this pasuk Amala or Zima? Because the word Zima is Rosh Tevis. Rav Amala Chachi Kamer Zu Mahi. You look at this child and you say, who is this child born to? Ich weiß nicht. Is it born to this father or that father? Is the child a mamzer, not a mamzer? By the fact that Reb Blaz ben Yaakov added this pasuk, he was telling us this is not a vaday mamzer, it's a zumahi, it's a sofik mamzer. And therefore, says Rava to Abaye, you have no raya from this brisa. And now we continue on, vayta in the brisa. Yes, okay, no, Reb Blaz ben Yaakov, le'isa odom ishim dina zu, v'yedach le'isa ishim dina acheres. Even one individual, remember, we're talking about the times before Rabbeinu Geshem, and therefore one was able to go marry multiple women. A person should not marry one woman in America, and another woman in Australia, and another woman in Europe, because Shem Yizdav Gezel Ezeven Imtza Ach Noises Achoisai. Because what may happen eventually is, since the father is traveling from place to place to place, and he has multiple women, and people don't even remember who the father is, just they know that there's a woman that produced children, kosher children, no problem. But the problem is that they won't remember exactly who the father is, and then the daughter of one of the women in Europe may eventually meet up with a son of one of the women in America, and they may get married without knowing who the father is. Nobody wants to talk about these things. So the husband and wife, the girl and the boy say, you know what, if you don't tell, I don't tell, and we'll get married. Could be there a brother and sister. Therefore, Reb Blaz ben Yaakov says, you know, don't do such things, even though there's nothing illegal about it, but nevertheless, it could cause potential problems in the future. Frank Dimora. So that's the end of the Brice of Reb Blaz ben Yaakov. Frank Dimora, Eini Vahar Rav, Ki Ikla the Dar Dishir, Machaz the Omer, Man Havi Liyoyma, Rav Nachman, Ki Ikla Le Shachnativ, Machaz the Omer, Man Havi Liyoyma. A very well-known Gemara, where it says that Rav and Rav Nachman, whenever they were traveling, they were always concerned that if they were going away from home for a day or more, that without their wives at Chas V'Sholom, their minds and their thoughts might stray. They might have hirhurim about living with a woman, and they don't have the benefit of having their wife with them, or their wives with them. And so therefore, they would announce, according to the Havamina, when they arrived in town, they or their Gaboyim would announce, Rav is here, he's staying for a day, and he'd like to know who would be interested in being married or living with Rav or with Rav Nachman for a day. So now the question is, you just said now that a person should not go from Medina to Medina and marry different women. That's exactly what Rav and Rav Nachman Lechoyra, that's exactly the problem. Rav, when he's going to Derbyshire and perhaps other places, they would make this announcement. If Rav would get married and have a child from this pregnancy, he might not even know that he fathered a child, because he's only there liyoyma for a day, and then he goes home. And people will forget who the father is, and then eventually it could be ach v'choisoi, the very problem that Reb Lezer ben Yaakov wants to address, and wants to resolve. Everything Gemara Shani Rabbanan de Pekir Shemai. No, there's no real problem with that, because a child that's born to Rav Reb Nachman, that child will be world renowned as being Rav's son or Rav Nachman's son. And then if there's another child, a girl, where Rav and Rav Nachman normally live, and they had from their normal regular wives, you don't have to worry about Ach V'Achoisai, because this will be famous and nobody will get into that problem. But I have a separate issue. Tavuli nasing this pais at three chaleshiv shivanakiyim. After a chosin proposes to a kala, they should not get married for the first 7 days because of the fact that it's what we call dam chimut. Dam chimut means that she will be pores nida as a result of the fact that she is so happy and so excited about the fact that they are getting married. The word chimut comes from the word leisachmait. In other words, that tremendous desire of her to go and get married. I think Brother Shai or someone else quoted the Gemara the other day that every woman wants to get married. Leitav the meisiv armela. Tandum the meisiv armela. Every woman wants to have a mate, a husband, rather than sitting like an old spinster, an old almana, without a husband. So tav lemesiv tandum lemesiv armela. Shkoyach Brother Shai. So the same thing over here. As soon as Tavuli Nase and Nispaisa, if she agrees, she says, I do, then you gotta wait 7 days in the kiyum. So here Rav is only arriving on the scene Monday morning, and then make an announcement after davening, man havali oima, who's interested? So a young lady comes by and says, I'm interested. She has to wait a full week. By that time, Rav will have left town, because Rav only arrived today, and he's only staying for a day. Havli Yoyim. So this doesn't work. Ever the Gemara, Rabbonon, Shluchayu hav mishadri umaydilu. The Rabbonon used to go and send Shlichim in advance. In other words, if Rav was going to arrive on Monday morning already, a week earlier, his gabbai, his shamas, his messenger would go to Darjashir or to Shachnetziv and say, Rabbi, Rav or Rav Nachman are going to arrive a week from now. Is there any young lady here in the audience that would be interested in marrying him? And if they say yes, then they have to wait Shivanakiyim, etc. So they don't have that issue because they had advance notice. What the whole kasha that we had initially, that Reb Lezer ben Yaakov says don't marry in separate locations because you might have a problem of ach v'achoisoi. How did Rav and how did Rav Nachman get married in these other towns and cities? Don't we have an issue? Says the Gemara, this is really a misnomer. It's not that they actually got married. When they said man ha'v'yoyma, they asked yichud be'alma hudim yachdeluhu, who is ready, willing, and able to go and be married to Rav and to Rav Nachman, so that they should not be enticed by other women. If and when, Chas v'Shalom, they were enticed with other women, they can go and say, I'm married, I have someone here to live with. Or they would say, I feel the urge and I have another young lady here. But ultimately they never actually lived with them, they would never boil them, they just wanted to have what the Gemara calls pas v'sali. The Omar, knowing that you have a potential wife waiting in the scenes, waiting there behind the curtain, so to speak, then that behind the scene, that is sufficient to deal with the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara wants to go and push a person with a burning desire, go and live with a woman. Yetzer Hara, what are you talking about? I have a young lady ready for me, ready, willing, and able. And therefore that already resolved the issue of the Yetzer Hara, but Maisa, they never got married, and that's why we don't have to worry about the issue of Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, that maybe Ach will marry Achoisai, and we don't have to worry about the Shivanakiyim, we don't have to worry about telling them in advance. This is all just to be Miyached and therefore it deals with all issues. Tanur blaze ben Yaakov Aymer leisa odem ishtoi bedat legasha. L'chayre, this is unrelated to the previous Gemara. Some say we want to relate it. If you hold that, like the Gemara assumed initially, that in fact Rav and Rav Nachman actually married these women in those other places, according to the Maskonas Gemara, the Gemara said no, it was just Yichud. They were miyachad, they designated, but they didn't actually live together. But according to the first view that they did live together, so Rav Leib ben Yaakov goes and admonishes and tells people, Layisa odem isha v'dat legarisha. Don't go and take a woman when your intention is to go and be megarish, to go and give a get. Shem shenemer, al tachresh al riach ro, bu yoyshev levetach itoch. Al tachresh al riach ro means the lushan of tachresh from lushan of charisha, of a chedesh. Chedesh is a person who's never deaf. So al tachresh al riach ro, don't keep it deaf, in other words, with a shtika, but rather, and he or she thinks that you are shalom together with that individual, don't do that. In other words, if a person, chasa shalom, has decided that he's going to go and divorce his wife, he should not go and continue living with her, because she thinks, oh, there's still love and affection in this marriage. It turns out that, unfortunately, there is none. And so therefore, says Rabbi Leizman Yaakov, at this point, he should no longer even live together with her. Okay. From here, Rabbi Yisai, we're going to deal now with financial matters. Until now, we spoke about Hilchos Isur Veheter. We're getting back to our Mishnah now. We're talking about, it doesn't have to be Dafka. Our Mishnah, you could have this in many other situations. But our Mishnah is the easy case for the background for all of these financial issues. And that is, again, we have a person who passed away, leaving over his wife. The wife now married the Yavam, and then afterwards it turns out that the wife was pregnant, and people don't know whether it was 9 months to the first one, 7 months to the second one. The child is kosher and should be Yotzi, like we learned in the Mishnah. But now let's talk about money. And that is, who yarshins now from the first husband? If the child, in fact, is the first husband's child, then that child takes the entire Yerusha, because he didn't leave over any other children. On the other hand, if this child happens to be the Yavam's child, then the Yavam should get the Yerusha, because after all, that's L'hakim L'achav Shem Yisrael, that's the Nachla that he takes from his brother. So now we have, fast forward a few years later, we have a court case in Tzarechitz court, and the question is, who gets the Yerusha? Is it this child that was born? We don't have to wait until he gets older. We can presumably appoint a guardian or a trustee to go and take care of his interests. But the point is, he says, I should go and get the Yerusha from my father because I'm the only child. And the Yavam says, you're not the Mase's child. You're my child. I get the entire Yerusha. So we have now a machlekes. Safik the Yavam shebo lachli benichse misna. The Safik, this child, and the Yavam want to split up their coming now at the time of dividing up the estate. The nichse misna means the nechasim of the mess. Safik omar ano bar misna hu. I am the bar misna. Unechasim tidiu. All nechasim belong to me. The Yavam omar at broi. You are my son. At broi didiat. You're my son. Bless the chavalei me. You don't get anything but nechasai. I get the whole thing. So bottom line is, each one of them comes with a tainas Sofik, we don't know for sure. Have a moment. Mutum Sofik. Mutum Sofik is Chokim. And normally this halacha of Mutum Sofik we attribute to Simchus. And normally we have the Rabbanan saying, Hamoitzim Chavere Olav Harai. However, that's, what are you trying to say, Gary? You're agreeing? Exactly. That's what the Rabbanan say. And Simchus is the one that says, Mutum Sofik Chokim. So this would appear to go only according to Simchus. But both Rashi and Tosfos say the same. When do you say, when someone is able to bring a raya? Here, nobody here is the muhsik. Nobody knows for sure. And therefore, they're exactly 50-50. And even the Rabbanim would therefore agree. Moment Hamutl Nesafik is Chok. So that's case number one. We're going to have another four or five different cases, as you will see. The next case is Safik Ubinay Yavam Shibo Lachlek Benichse Misna. The Yavam has already died, the suffix means that child that we don't know whether it was a son of the first husband or the son of the second husband. So he comes into Bezin together with Bnei Yavam to now split up the, these are the children of the Yavam, to split up the Nechosim of the mess. Safik Amar, same thing as before, Ahu Gavra, he's referring to himself, Bar Mistahu, I am the son of the mess, Benechasi the deal, and all Nechosim belong to me, because we're splitting up Nechosim of the mess. Bnei Yavam Amri, no, At Ochinuat, you are just a brother of ours. So granted, you get something. Let's assume that there are five other brothers. So you'll get 1/6 of the Yerusha. Because you're not, if they concede that he happens to be a son of the Misna, then they lose out entirely. So therefore they have to make a partial concession. And they say, you're not the exclusive sole son of the Mes. You are one of the sons of our father, the Yavam. So, since the mess passed away, there's no, the mess left over no children. You're one of our brothers. Okay, the only one that's left is the Yavam. The Yavam gets the entire Yerusha. The Yavam died, so you'll split it together with us. You are one, we're five, we'll take a sixth of the Yerusha. Okay, what do we do? Some Rabban come to Rabban Sharsha, the name of Masisni. So the Rabban who were learning in the Talmidim of Rasharsha, they said, oh, that's the case of the following Mishnah. Did not wish they the Mishnah. Who ain't a Yorish Oysam, ain't Yorshin Oysai. V'hacha Ibcha. What is this case? Who ain't a Yorish Oysam, ain't Yorshin Oysai. So we have the Rashi over here. Rashi is Safik of Neyavam. It's about a third, a quarter down the Amid. Towards the top of the Amid, and quarter down, Safik Neyavam. Ha-Safik Muxlik Ben Biyoyser. He has a greater chazakah than the other brothers. To the man of Shach, Islay Zechiyah B'Gavai. There's no question he certainly has a portion of the Yerusha. Al Bnei Yavam Shem Ein Lem Chelik Behem. It could be they have nothing. Could be they have zero. Why? Shezer Ben Rishonu. The Kuli Shaloi. Maybe he happens to be the son of the first one. They have nothing. Shemachi Sabar Rabbanu Lameimar Haimah Maslisa Meperik Noisan Allah Nusa. Victoni. Now this is similar to the Mishnah which we're going to have by Noisim Al-Nusa. Voshtei Ben the Mishnah. Sofik Ben Tisha L'Rishoin. Sofik Ben Shiva L'Achroin. Our case. What's Allah? Hu lo yoresh oysan loizeh v'loizeh. What happens if you have a situation of, again, this is that Sofik fellow, Ben Tisha L'Rishoin, Sofik Ben Shiva L'Achroin, and he has brothers from each one of those husbands. From the first husband there are brothers, and from the second husband there are brothers. What's your issue, Barry?
How could he have brothers from the first? Zerah Englo. That's the whole Hebrew problem, okay? Because the first guy didn't have any other children.
We're talking about two regular husbands. We're not talking about a Yavam situation. Talking about Smith and Jones. Smith was married to a lady Sprinza, and then either he died, or he gave her a divorce. And they had already, Baruch Hashem, three or four children in their marriage. Then she goes and marries Jones, and Jones already, and she didn't wait the 3 months, and she married Jones, and they, Baruch Hashem, had a child, and the child, the first child that's born, we don't know whether it was Smith's child or Jones's child. And then Mr. and Mrs. Jones had some more children. So now, both the Rishon and the Achroin, meaning both the first husband and the second husband, have other children besides this fellow. And now, we're talking about years later, we have a question of Yerusha. So, each one of them, in each case, the Suffolk wants to Yarshin from the purported father, either the first father or the second father, or both, because he claims, I happen to be a child like all the rest of you guys. And of course they say, no, you're from the other husband, you're not from us. That's the dispute. Again, so you have some Ben Tisha L'Rishon, some Ben Tisha L'Achroin. Hu lo yorish oysan, loizeh v'loizeh. Each time he wants to go and yarshan either from the Rishon, that is the first husband, Smith, or he's going to want to go and get a Yerusha from Jones. The sons of Smith say, you're not one of our brothers, you're a brother of Jones, go there. They'll say, you're not a Jones, you're a Smith, go over there. What they can do is, if and when he passes away, they can go and split it 50-50. The Smith brothers take 50% and the Jones brothers take 50%. So getting back to that Mishnah. Did not who any Yerush Yisrael, he cannot Yarshin from either the B'nai Smith, and he cannot Yarshin together with the B'nai Jones, because each one of them can push him inside and say, bring, we are Vadais, you are a Suffolk. Therefore, Ein Suffolk, Moitzi B'nai Vadai, go to the other family. And the other family says the same thing. So he's stuck between a rock and a hard place. However, both families, Smith and Jones, will split his Yerusha 50-50, because each one is its Amom and Amutl Masafik Chokin. So getting back to our case over here. So the Rabbanu, who the Talmidim or Masharshi said, we think that this is similar to that Mishnah over there. However, it's going to be the other way around. In that Mishnah over there, we said, he doesn't get any Yerusha, but they will Yarshin from him. V'ach Ipcha. Back to the Gemara, 5-6 lines into the wide lines. Ha'asim Amri Lei, Aisirai Yushkoi. They're the two groups, the B'nai Rishon and B'nai Achron, say to him, prove that you are our brother, and then you'll get a Chedek Yerushin. Ha'acha Amalahu, here, he tells them, Aisirai Yushkoi. I am Vadai, a child over here. Remember, our case is talking about a Suffolk U'B'nai Yava, where the Suffolk says, I'm really entitled to 100%. Because we're talking about the Nechsei Hames. And the other brother said, no, you're not happen to be Nechsei Hames. You happen to be one of our brothers. And therefore, all the Yerusha went to our father, the Yov. But even they agree that he has at least 1/6 or 1/5 or 1/4, depending on how many other brothers there are. So therefore, Zed talk to Yimara. Hocha Amalahu, he tells them, I am Muchsik at least in a certain percentage of the property. If there are five brothers altogether, including him, then I have a 20% chazaka. And if there are only one other brother, then I certainly have 50%. So I certainly have a chazaka on part of it. You want to also get part? No! Bring the rai ushkailu. So the chayra, it's a nice rai. Omer Misharshi, Misharshi said to the family, then me, dummy, how can you compare? Hasim inu vadai viyu safik. In that case of the Hu Eli Yorish Vahim Yorishim, they are Vadais. They know for sure that they are B'nai Rishon. The B'nai Achron know that they are B'nai Achron. He doesn't know whether he's Rishon or Achron. So it's a Safik mit a Vadai. Hosef inu Vadai. You Safik, and therefore ain't Safik moitzi B'nai Vadai. Hosef in our case, Edi V'Edi Safik. Here, they are both Sveikis. Even the Safik says, I agree, I don't know for certain. Just my man of Shach, I should have at least a quarter, a fifth, a sixth, whatever it happens to be. But clearly, on anything beyond that chelik, who knows? Nobody knows. If you want to go and bring a raya from that Mishnah that we just brought about who ain't Yoidish, it's similar to the next case. What's the next case? The same thing, Safik ibn Yavim, but not to go and Yarshin the Misna, but the Nichsei Yavam. Now what happened initially? Initially when you had the Suffolk between, you had the Machloikis between the Suffolk and the Yavam, we gave 50% to the Suffolk and 50% to the Yavam. And now, years later, the Yavam passes away. And now the Suffolk says, well, I might be a son of the Yavam, so I want to get a chelik of the Yavam. The Hasan Amri Lei, there, in that case, they tell him, Aisirai dachvana at ushkor. There they go and say, bring a rai that you have to be a brother, and then you'll be able to go and take. However, until you can go and bring a raya, you don't get it. So the case of the other Mishnah, B'nai Rishon, B'nai Achron, the B'nai Rishon say, you're an Achron, the B'nai Achron say, you're a Rishon, and you get nothing. Until you bring a raya. In our case, the boss of the Polak Yovam B'nichsi Misna, after the Yovam already was machalik the nechosim of the mess, B'nai Yovam Amri, the B'nai Yovam say, Aisirai dachvana at ushkoil. Bring a rai that you happen to be one of the brothers, in other words, one of the sons of the Yovam, and you'll share with us. Amalhu, and he says, Amalhu Safik, Manav Shaykhu, Mamanav Shach. Iachuchan, ano, if I happen to be your brother, Havali Mansibigahadaychu, at least give me my fifth, my sixth, my portion. The ibar nisnana, if I happen to be the son of the mess, havli palger the polig avuchayim b'hadoy, then give me back that half that I split together with your father. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, we had our din taira, because nobody knew for sure my status, nobody knew for sure the yovam status, therefore we split it 50-50. I took 50% and the Yovam took 50%. Now that the Yovam is dying, he passed away, so now the Sufik goes to the Yovam and says to them, If I happen to be the son of the Misna, and that's why I got 50%, and that's why you're denying me a chelik in the Yovam's Nechasim, you know what? They give me the 50% of the Yovam's, of the Nechasim that the Yovam got 5 years ago in the Din Torah, give those to me, because if you're telling me I'm the Bnei Misna, then give those back. Elamai, you're telling me no, there was a Sufik, and therefore maybe you happen to be one of us, and not the son of the mess, then give me my portion now, because after all, you're conceding that I may be one of your brothers. So man of Shech, I should get a portion. So therefore, palga de palig avuchim badoi. So what do we do in a situation like that? So Rav Machloik is now between Rav Abba Amarav and Rav Yilya. Rav Abba Amarav says, kam dina. Kam dina means, we do not listen to the Sufik when he says, let's reopen the case of 5 years ago and give me back the messes, the Yavam's 50% in the messes Nechasim, because Kamdina, it's like a statute of limitations, or whenever the period ends for appealing or changing, it's done. We passed in 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 50-50, I got 50%, the other 50% went to the Yavam, that's a done deal. So we do not listen to the Sufik when he says, give me back the 50% that your father yarshin in the messes nechasim. That doesn't work. Or no. L'chayre, the Sufik has a wonderful taina. He said, Mamar of Shech, if you're telling me that I should not get a chaylik in a yavam, you know why? Because I'm the son of the mess, then give me back the other 50% that I deserve. Elamai, you say, no. You're really one of us. Then give me my chaylik as one of us. So therefore says, you could, Hadadina, you could unravel the old psak of years ago. Says Yimar, that maybe Rav and Rabbi Yirmiyah are arguing in the following machloikis tanoi. Laymit looked in the admin verbon, come if he did not learn the Mishnah Mishalach Lamedina Sayah. The of the loy derech sodehu. Person went away for a year to Medina Sayah, and he comes back and he finds, I lost my egress, I lost my right of way to go into my property. And as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, his property, his fields, were surrounded on all four sides by properties of others. And he wants to go into his property. And each one says, where was your derech? If you can pinpoint your derech, you get it back. If not, you know, don't come to me, come to the other guy. So we have a machloikis over here. Admin Oimer, Admar Yelech B'Tzara. Give him the shortest possible derech through one of the surrounding fields to get into his field. We don't want to give his right of way an expansive right. Give the minimum that he needs to get into his property. They can force him to pay for that. Since he cannot prove where his derech is, he's got to pay them an exorbitant amount. Extortion. You want to get into your field, you don't want to pay? Go and hire a personal helicopter. And then we were asking, Rabbanon Shapik Omer Admon. Chayr Admon is right. I don't understand the Chachamim. He certainly has a right of way somewhere. How can you go and just blow him away? So tomorrow, Yom Revina Barav, Hachem Ha'iskinu, Kigoyin Shikifu, Arba B'nei Odom, Arba Ruchas. Four people are surrounding him. Four different owners are surrounding from all four sides. Oh, four owners from all four sides. Yachim Ha'itam the Admon. So what's Admon talking about? Each one of the four sides, he goes up to Reuven. Reuven says, "La baldvorn didiat, the derech was not on my property. You want to prove it? Prove it. But otherwise, I'm waiting for the varai." He goes up to Shimon, same thing. He goes up to Levi, same thing. Goes up to Yehuda, the same thing. So how does Admon say he gets the minimum? Who's going to give him the minimum? Each one will say, "Go take the minimum by somebody else." The Amar Rav.
If the four present owners
bought from four prior owners, or the four that are coming today, mikoyach chad, they all bought together from one owner, then everybody agrees that the four owners can push him away, like the Rabbanan say, because until you can prove that the derech was on my property, go to Yankel, go to Beryl, go to Reuven, go to Shimon, go to you, not to me, I am this, you're not my bar plug. So where's the machlokes? Kipli v'chadi os mikoyach arba. Oh, originally there were four separate owners around his field, and then one individual bought all of the four surrounding fields. I've been sovereign matzi amalei mikol mokim darki gabachu. I don't know where my derech is, to the right, to the left, north, south, I don't know. But one thing is for sure, it's one of those four. Otherwise, how would I ever be able to get to my property? And since you, Yankel, own all four properties, sure, you have to give me the minimum derech. From Ban and Sabri, the Omalei, the Omru lay, they go and say to this fellow, Ishaskis, Ishaskis, if you're quiet and you are prepared to live with reality, and you continue to be quiet, we can arrange a deal for a small amount of money, and you'll be able to buy a derech here in one of the four sites. Viloy, if you insist on making a big fuss and saying, the man of Shef, I have a derech somewhere, you know what? Madran Ishtalim Arayu, we can go and give back our shtoris to our predecessors, the previous owners. And you won't be able to go get anything from them, because I bought it from all four. And if you're going to go to the previous owner, I'm going to give my shtoris back to the previous four guys. You're going to go to Reuven, Reuven's going to say, don't go to me, go to Shimon. You're going to go to Shimon. Shimon will say, go to Reuven. Go to Levi. Go to Yehuda. And so therefore, you should ask us, if you're willing to live with today's realities, fine. For a small fee, we'll allow you to go and buy a property or a right of way on one of these four. But if you insist on your rights, I can throw you out by reversing and giving the properties back and then deal with those guys. Okay, so that's machlokes between Admon and Rabban. And now we had Rab Abba and Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rab Abba Omer Rav said, "Come dinner, Rabbi Yirmiyah Omer Hoder dinner." Says the one named Rab Abba, the Omer Ke Rabbanon, Rabbi Yirmiyah the Omer Ke Admon. Rabbi Yirmiyah the Moshe that said, "Hoder dinner," that we can go and reverse the din and go back and look back and take back the messes and the chosin and give it to this Safik, and therefore he has a good taina. He holds like Admon. That Admon also says, "Mister Manavshach, one of these places, Darki Kabach, belongs to me." And so therefore, even though originally it belonged to four separate people, but now it belongs to one individual, so I can go and force you to go and give me this property because it's on one of the properties. So the Gemara wants to shtel to Rababa to Rabbanan and Rabbi to Admon. And the Gemara quickly dispenses with that. You know why Admon was very, very strong in his taina? Because he says, I have a derech darki chad gabachu by one of you. I don't know where the derech is, north, south, east, west, but somewhere here I have a derech. You have to go and give it to me. Aval hocha, in our case, with the mess, with the Safik and the Bnei Adam, Mi'ikal Meimer Haki, can he go and say for sure? Nobody knows for sure. Nobody will ever know for sure if this child is from the first husband or the second husband. So therefore, different circumstances, different facts. Rabbi Yirmiyah Amalach, the same thing. I know the Amir for the Rabban. And can the Gemara Rabban Hassam El Nishim the Amalai Ishask Ishask Zilei Madranish Tar the Marayu Vlei Matzah Shistuya Dina Badayu. The present owner has a very good taina. He says to this fellow, you want to get a derech? Fine, pay me $100, pay me $1,000, I'll give you a derech. But if you're not going to agree to give me anything, I'll just give the shtaris back to the original owners and you won't be able to get anything. In our case, with the Safik, there is no shaskis, shaskis, and we'll be able to reverse and go back and give back the shtaris. Come on, that's all ridiculous. Nobody will ever know the truth who this child is in terms of who the father is. So therefore, the two cases are not similar. I have no raya what Rab Abba or what Rab Yirmiyah would hold in the cases of Admon and the Rabban. And this will stop over here, Rabbi Yisai, and we'll continue right in another couple of cases tomorrow in Miyat Hashem with the Safik Midiyavim.